Talking landscape photography with Kristen Fletcher and Carwin.
It is like-minded. G'day, it's Carwin here with Christian Fletcher and Mr. Tony Hewitt. And I've got to say, this is deja vu again, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, something strange about that. In a world of change where every day is different, this one feels like it's like last Thursday.
Yeah, pretty much. It pretty much is. But, you know, the last Thursday was the dress rehearsal, and today is the... You don't cough, Tony.
No.
We just noticed. And no, our listeners can't see you, but we can. And I just saw you cough into your hand.
Oh.
You're going to do... That's better. Into the elbow. Yeah, and wipe your arm with your nose all the way down to the top of your hand and then gel your hair. And...
Hey, before we kick this off, boys, can we just briefly explain to the like-minded listeners what happened last week? So basically,
we got to the end of a one hour show. You looked at both Christian and I on Skype, and you said that was crap. I'm deleting it, and we're going to do it again. That's what happened, isn't it?
Oh, stop telling the truth, mate. Jeez. No, basically, we recorded Fletch. I reckon it was one of our best podcasts ever. Don't you reckon?
Ever. They all are. Yeah. Everyone's the best one ever.
But that was particularly a corker. And then my iMac just exploded, so we lost everything. And Tony, when that happened, the disappointment on your face, it was like, no. So anyway, we're back.
We're back. And you know what? That's the sign of the times. It's almost like it was a symbolism of what's going on, that you think you get your head around what's going on. You think you've got your head around reality. Mm. And within hours, it'll change. You know, we're used to change happening over weeks and months and years.
Nice segue.
And now we have to find a way to adapt, you know. Mm. Adaption is kind of the key word at the moment. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, like a virus, we need to mutate.
Mm. Maybe.
For the listeners out there, Tony just shook his head and looked at me. And
I wouldn't have gone there, but there you go.
What a funny old chain of events, though. You know, it is March the 25th right now. You know, what is it, 10:50 in the morning? The coronavirus appears to be taking a hold, and quite frankly, fellas, I actually just can't believe the tempo of this thing. And I think, you know, Christian, what's on the cards for you today, mate?
Last day in the gallery today. Well, the gallery being open anyway. So I've got the official word to shut up shop from midnight tonight. So after 20 years, we're just closing it down and just seeing what happens. We're throwing the dice in the air, and we'll just see where they land. But, you know, I made a post about it, and I thought, you know, this has taken me back to when I first moved down here, and I didn't have a gallery. And I didn't have a business, and in some ways I still have a business, but, you know, it's taken the gallery's gone. So now I'm back to where, okay, you know, I don't know how long this will last for, but what do I do? How do I make a living and pay the bills? So we've got a massive commitment in that gallery space, and that won't change. Every week we have to pay that amount that we can't avoid. It's stuff that's baked into the fact that we have a gallery space. So, now it's all up in the air and weird, but it's kind of exciting as well, because it's like, okay, I'm back to square one. Mm. It's like restarting a business, and there's nothing more exciting than starting a new project. Mm. It's like, whether it be taking photos or making a cake, you know, it's like you get all the ingredients together and go, oh, let's see how this turns out, and just start mixing.
Tony, how long is this going to go on for, mate? You're a bit of a scholar of the world.
You give him the easy question. Just say, what are you doing today? Then you want me to be Nostradamus.
Oh, and also, can you give us the meaning in less than 40 words? Can we have the meaning of life too, please?
Yeah, 42. That's the easy answer.
That's true. And I just Googled that. That is actually completely true.
Okay. How long is it going to last? This isn't the answer you're going to expect. This is going to last for the rest of our lives. What do I mean by that?
We're all going to die.
When people ask that question, they think, when will it go back to normal? When will it go back to the way it used to be?
Yeah.
And I think we can be safe in saying it won't go back to the way it used to be. A lot of things will go back to the way they were, but I think a lot of things won't. Why would we go back to doing what we did in its entirety and end up where we had?
But can you give us some examples of that?
Okay, like I think a lot of people that I've been talking to in the last couple of weeks when it comes to their business, they're looking at the obviously the pressure and the trauma and the stress that comes with having to shut down and find an income. But once they get their head around that, would you rebuild it exactly the way it was when you shut it down? And I haven't had a single person say to me, I would do it exactly the same way. There may be some of the listeners that go, no, no, I'd do it exactly the same way. But I think all of us would look at it and go, okay, if I'm forced into a reset, would I put everything back exactly how it was? It's a bit like cleaning out your house or cleaning out your room or cleaning out your office. Do you, if you had to find, let's say somebody said there's something in that office that's not good for you, you've got to get it out and you've got to empty the entire office out to find it, which is kind of what we're doing. When we take everything out of the office, when we put it back, would you put everything back where it was? I don't think anybody would.
No, you're right.
Now, maybe one people are going to say, oh, bullshit, Tony, I would. But I think the majority of people would say, no, given a chance to reset it, to set it up, to do it again, I would do some things different. Now, some would do them subtly different and some would do them entirely different. But the point is, it won't be the same. So how long is it going to last? This particular phase of the forced changes may last anywhere between 3 and 6 months and maybe as long as the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in medicine. I'm not an expert in epidemiology. Geez, I got that right. I'm not an expert in economics, in politics, in social unrest. But my best guess would be somewhere between September and Christmas, we're going to be seeing the end of the tunnel. The other day in our virtual podcast, the one that never went out, we talk about entering a tunnel. So, you know, most of us, if we've travelled, have been to places where there might be a 5 kilometre tunnel through the Alps or through a mountain, and you've never been through that yet. So as you enter it, it becomes dark and it's winding, and suddenly all light is gone other than your headlights. So you can only see what you're looking at. And then when moving, you can feel the tunnels changing direction, but you don't know what's at the other end. And you don't know how long it is. It might go on for a few minutes. It might go on for 15, 20 minutes.
And that's exactly how it feels now. That's a great analogy. Right.
We're in a tunnel and we're entered the dark phase and we don't know what's at the other end, but we will come out. There will be a time when we start to see a bit of light coming through and then we'll exit into this bright light.
Oh, Jesus, Tony. Hang on. I was just going to ask, is that, I mean, we're going down this tunnel and we're going to see this bright light. Should we, like, turn away because, you know, we might be
in...
The point is, we're going to come out of this at some point, however you want to look at it. And when we come out of it at the other end, the world would look different because we're seeing it with different eyes. We've had time to reflect and we've had time to think about how we were doing things and what was important. You know, it's often said, what you don't know, you don't know. But once you know something, you can't unknow it. It's like, oh no, don't show me that. I'll never be able to get that image out of my head. Well, the world has changed and we're not going to be able to unknow that. So what will we do with this experience? What will we do with this knowledge? Not just in terms of our business, but in terms of our personal lives, our family lives, you know, the greater group. But, you know, what will we do with it? We're all going through an experience. Some of us are going to do it really, really tough. Some will think they're doing it tough until they look at the next person. But what will we do with the knowledge? I don't think it's ever going to be the same, Carlin. And I hope it's going to be better.
Look, I hope so too. And look, that, you know, I know we made fun of it, but that analogy about the tunnel and, you know, this is, look, I've got to say, this is, personally, this is the, Fletcher just taking a call from, who's that?
Samsung Galaxy S20 Ultra.
Look at the size of that phone, Tony. Mate, I don't know you blokes, but I've never experienced this feeling of helplessness in my entire life. Like, I've never been this. It's not that I'm necessarily concerned, but I've never felt so helpless as I do right now. Like, we just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I can understand that, Carlin, because you still shoot with a Canon 5D Mark II,
which is a brilliant camera system, by the way.
Yeah, look, and we're all, and the thing that's comforting is that we're all in it together. You know, even the government, everyone in government, everyone that's successful business person, anyone that's struggling, we're all in this together. Some people, like Tony said, will feel it more than others, but in the end, we will come out with a different thought process and different way of doing things. And I can think of different things that I would do in my business, and just not necessarily just in business, but in my everyday life. About, you know, now we're starting to conserve more, and Jen and I, we've been, you know, we're going, okay, well, we need to turn off everything. We need to, you know, make sure that we can collect as much rainwater as we can, and we're going to use the electric car now and just not use petrol at all if we can avoid it. So all these things are things that we should have wired in. Yeah. You know, they should be baked into the way we are, but we've lived very wasteful lives for so long.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, the hard thing is, I really want to just let listeners know that, you know, we can sit here and talk about the positives and think creatively and think forward thinking and have an upbeat vibe, but we do, I just want to acknowledge that some people are doing it really tough, and some people are scared. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are fearful. They're lost. They feel unknown. I get that. But what I'd also like to share is, this too shall pass. And you know, I made a comment this morning to someone, and I said, choose carefully what you look at and what you listen to. It determines how you feel. It's really important to stay in touch with the latest news, to be up to date with the latest warnings, what's allowed, what's not allowed, what we can do to help ourselves, such as, you know, social, you know, and Centrelink and payments if you're out of jobs, all of that. It's really important. But it's equally as important not to bombard and overload yourself with that information. Social media can serve a fantastic purpose at times like this, but it can also be very damaging. We need to give ourselves permission to switch off. The other day when we were talking, I mentioned that I'd spoken with some of my coaching clients that the creative space they work in, just have a look at it. Have a look at what you are surrounding yourself with at different times of the day. Yes, we're stuck at home, but is there somewhere you can sit where everywhere you look and everything you hear is going to inspire you, is going to be positive? You know, do you have pictures on the wall that make you think good things, that help you feel positive and inspired? Because how we feel, how we feel confident, how we feel inspired, how we feel creative, actually goes beyond just feeling good. It actually helps us in our immune system. It helps the people around us, because, you know, if you walk into a room and somebody's been in a room, it can pull you down. It takes from your energy, and we all need that energy. So stay in touch with what's going on. Be aware of what the warnings are, but create spaces that you can sit in where it's listening to good music, playing with your computer, being exploring creatively, and in a moment I'll hopefully go through some ideas you can do when you're at home in your office. But and I just, if I can just finish with, you know, talking about something Art Wolf shared many years ago at a talk. And he talked about sitting there looking out his window and seeing bins or seeing some crappy part of his yard, and it really was the opposite of feeling creative. It didn't inspire him. So he made a point of making sure that when he was in that space that he wants to be creative, in that studio, that creative little environment, everywhere he could see, everything he could look at, everything he could listen to, was going to contribute to a positive energy, was going to contribute to feeling good. Then you can have those places where you don't feel so good, where you've got to sit there, read the paper and doom and gloom, but have somewhere to go and make it and ban any bad news in that room. Make sure that where you look at it inspires you, because you said you can't control things and you feel helpless. You can control what's in front of you.
Yeah, right.
I can control right now to turn you buggers off if I'm sick of you.
We wouldn't blame you, actually. No.
So people
think of
people
ourselves.
Can control what they listen to. People can control what they watch, what they read. We can control that. It's important that as much as we take in those warnings, we take in the stuff that's going to not only make us feel good, but by feeling good, we give ourselves the best chance of staying healthy and those around us.
Good points.
Look, we talk about you know, keeping ourselves active in the creative space. Fletch, what are you going to do during this, mate?
I'm really excited for what's happening, because I very rarely get to stay home and be away from the gallery and be away from emails and all that sort of rubbish that a gallery puts on you, all those commitments that you have. And even though that's where my studio is and that's where I do my editing and stuff, I'm so caught up in the day-to-day running of the gallery, I'm going to have this time off now to just concentrate on making nice images. And literally, you know, I can go a month without editing a photo. That's just because I just don't have the time or the energy, because you put so much energy into doing these things that you do in the business. So I'm looking forward to shooting more and you know, and thinking about what it is I want to shoot. I'm thinking about projects and ideas and doing things that I haven't done, you know, macro and long lens stuff and studio stuff. I want to get my studio lights out and set them up. And I was saying to you before, Carmen, I've been lucky enough to get a new light Leica kit, which was delivered yesterday. And then I had that, you know, beautiful Leica lens, the 90 to 180 mil lens on the thing. And I was just walking around the house and I thought, how can I make these photos look different? I took a few shots of the kettle and some pot plants and stuff. And then I got the plastic bag that was lying around that was from an old Dyson vacuum cleaner, and I stuck that over the end of the lens and started shooting through the plastic bag. I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. This looks kind of arty. And so I thought, wow, what about that? And
then portrait photography.
So let's all go out and buy a $5,000 to $10,000 lens and put it on a $17,000 camera and put a plastic bag over the front.
It looked great. It was very arty. God. Very art. So I want to try that stuff. I want to experiment, and I'm gonna look at what artists are doing and seeing what painters do and see if I can get some inspiration from that. So if it means that I've got to you know, get a big sheet of plastic and take it outside and wrap a tree up in this plastic and light it really beautifully and that is the photo. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing I'll do. So I have no ideas, but I have all the ideas. I've got crazy ideas. I've just got to – now I'll have time to make them work, because when you're busy running a business, you have very little time.
What about you, Tone? What are you going to do, mate?
Well, this at the moment I'm between a few things. So we've been, you know, going through the process of postponing photo tours and things like that around the world. That's which has been unfortunate.
That's awesome.
And you know, like everybody else, you know, my income, you know 80% of my income disappeared in a week. So we've had to go and start working out what we do with that, you know. Hope and thankfully most people are keen to keep them on the books, and we're going to be doing them next year, and we're working on that. That's part of it. I'm also, as many people know, have the responsibility of being the chair of the Australian Photography Awards with the RPP. And we're currently, we've been having meetings every second day. I've probably spent 2 to 3 hours a day for the last 2 weeks on phone calls with everyone from trade partners to national president to the awards committee. And we're going to have some pretty exciting information coming out. It'll possibly be out by the time this podcast gets aired.
Is there going to be a new category for plastic bag shots over lenses?
It's being heavily considered.
Yep.
Heavily considered. But yeah, I can't comment on that at this point, but it is being considered. But certainly online competition, online critiques, all sorts of things like that are being talked about, and I'll be announcing them today as far as what we've been working on. So that's keeping me pretty busy, but I'm also looking at what I can do at home. And you know, we live in a world up until recently that was way overloaded with noise. Most people felt that they were overwhelmed in so many ways with the pressures of time, the limit that they had with the amount of time they could give to their family or give to themselves personally, etc. And I look at it, and we're being forced to quieten the noise. The noise around us, distractions, have been one by one taken away out of our control. They're just taken away, and we're being left with this space. And if you're a creative or an artist, one of the things that you yearn for, that you just know you need to do your best work, is creative space. You need time, and we've been giving that time. And yeah, we've got to use some of that time to batten down the hatches, to strengthen our foundations, to find a a way to get through 6 months, whatever that's going to be for each of us. Mm. We have to use that time for that. But there's also going to be other time. And history will show us that when creatives get given a vacuum to fill, that's when there's an explosion of creativity, an explosion of art. So I'm kind of excited about what's going to happen for everybody, but I'm obviously very excited about what I'm going to come up with. Like Christian, I've got some ideas that have been floating around, and I can see that they're going to have a space to evolve and to propagate in. And, you know, my goal is to, without sounding like bad taste joke, but like a virus, I want those creative ideas to multiply and to expand. And the more we tap into that feeling that we get when something exciting is happening, that feeling of excitement is actually good for us. Mm. It's good for us in physical, mental, and emotional ways. Mm. And that's got to be for everybody around us as well.
Mm. Now, you guys, arguably are probably two of the best landscape photographers in the world. You know, I'm not trying to pump your tires up or anything. Just Google yourselves. Tony's pointing to Fletch, and Fletch isn't. Yeah. Fletch isn't actually pointing to Tony. He's just taking. No.
But, I'm taking it, man.
Fletch was pointing at himself.
Tony's pointing at himself. But where is the genre gonna go? I mean, we see there's a lot of landscapes where you've got the setting sun in rule of thirds, and you crop the sun into the top left third, and it's just standard flat horizon and all that sort of stuff. It's in the future weeks and months, that's going to be more difficult for people to get out and sort of take those type of images. They're going to be forced to go into them to themselves. Where is landscape photography going to go as a craft, or is it going to go away for a little bit? And like Fletch was saying, with messing around with lights outside and plastic bags and all sorts of stuff, are we going to is a new genre going to come out of this, or do you think the genre of landscape photography as we know it is going to survive?
There's your answer. It's dead. No. Look, it'll always survive. It's been going for forever, from the start of the dawn of photography, I guess. There's always been people taking landscapes, but maybe we'll do it with a different reason. Maybe there'll be more purpose behind what we do instead of just creating photos for the sake of creating photos, which is what I was doing this morning. Maybe we'll have time to think about these things, and our work will improve. I'm really hopeful that everyone's going to come up with some brilliance over this period, and focus on their backyards and not worry about what's going on overseas, and find the beauty that's around them. So I'm just waiting for the ideas, and you can see the ideas coming out already. There's some great stuff, some funny stuff. There was an amazing video I saw. It was just a guy with an English accent. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but he had a table, and on the table was just all these groceries and stuff.
I saw that.
And he goes, "Oh, look, he's got this English accent. Yeah, I just went to the shop, and I saw all these people with these trolleys full of food, and they." And I just went up to him and said to him, do you mind if I have some of that food? And they just gave me all this food. And then he starts pointing to the food with his handgun. And I thought, wow, why didn't I think of that? There's another one as well. I'm not sure if I saw the other one, the donut one.
Oh, yeah, I've watched that this morning.
That one we can't talk about. But I thought, wow, look, there's people out there coming up with creative ideas already. And I thought that video, when I saw that, I just laughed, and it made me feel so much better about coronavirus. It was just hilarious. And someone thinking outside of the square. So that's coming. What do you think, Tone?
I think that there's a couple of things I can see when we come back to your question, Carwin, that first of all, I think people given time now to look, they're going to spend time going back over their libraries, not their libraries of finished images, but going back, trolling through their collection of raw images and things that they shot, and they'll start looking at the second layer.
Yeah, right.
So if we go away on a trip and we come back with a 500 pictures or 1,000 pictures, we tend to find those 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 pictures that we go, these are the heroes.
Yeah.
And often they're the ones, the obvious heroes, the ones that you look at, yeah, that's an epic shot. Mm. But I think people are going to start to go back and have time to look through other things that maybe they skipped over, maybe weren't at first glance iconic or amazing, and we might find a different type of beauty in the landscape. because people start showing us images that maybe because of lack of time they didn't explore fully. I also feel that in the same vein, people will start looking at their way of processing and finding different ways to express what they saw. They'll have a chance to get better at expressing what they saw and sharing what they loved about the landscape. I think that when we are allowed out to play, when we can go back out into the big wide world and have a look, I think people, a lot of people, maybe not everybody, a lot of people are going to appreciate it in a different way. And I think Christian was alluding to that a little when he, you know, said that we'll have different reasons and different purposes behind why we shoot, rather than, you know, I think one of the things people are starting to understand is we have spent the majority of our lives taking a shitload of stuff for granted. The simple things in life we've just taken for granted.
But, you know, now, it's just, I know these are just, they're not just words, but we have had it so good, and you take for granted being able to go to the shops and buy fucking toilet paper, you know, and that's, it's, I'm sorry.
Just going down, you know, I was down the beach this morning, you know, my wife went swimming with her friends. They all drove their own cars. Normally they go in at one car. They swam, and then when they came back, they were sitting on the lawn with a takeaway coffee because that's all you can get. And they were sitting about 4 meters apart. It looked really weird because when I got there, there was four friends sitting literally 4 meters apart from each other. It's like, you know, why don't you spread out and take up the whole lawn, guys?
Yeah.
And then the funniest thing happened. Twice in the next half hour, I walked up and sat next to my wife and gave her a kiss on the cheek. And somebody looked at me like, really? Yeah, right. You're touching each other?
Yeah.
And then when we went back to the car and I did the same thing, this lady was standing there with her arms folded watching me, and Lynette got in the car and I walked towards mine, and this lady was shaking her head.
You're kidding
and I
me.
Said, it's okay, she's my wife, I live with her.
You're kidding
and
me.
She went, oh, I was wondering that. Now, the lady wasn't looking angry, but you could see the sort of thinking in her head was something that we would never have had until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, days ago.
That's right. So when we talk about what's going to be like, whether it's landscape photography or any type of photography going forward and coming out of this, we are going to be looking at the world with an entirely different context. We're going to be looking at it with an entirely different set of appreciation and different set of values because of what we've been through. And that's going to change the way we see the world. And when we change the way we see the world, we change what we take photos of, and we change why we're taking those pictures in the first place. So I don't know what we're going to end up with, but I can see change coming. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we have to. It's almost like it has to happen because this has happened.
I wonder what happened after the Second World War and the First World War. What happened to communities and people, you know, straight after the war finished? What was, I mean, I don't know history that well, but was there a period of, you know, growth and happiness, or were the communities stronger, or were people getting back to normal? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this will be a similar sort of thing coming out of like a warlike posture, basically.
I think we need to get on to somebody who's a little bit older that possibly remembers that. So does anybody have Peter Eastway's telephone number there at all?
I'm going to Skype.
Actually, I have. That's a good point. Because, you know, an eyewitness account of these type of events would be very, very interesting.
He would have had hair back then too.
How good is this coronavirus? We've got jokes today.
I've actually forgotten how to use Morse code, but does anyone know how to call Peter?
I've got a courier pigeon. That's normally how I contact him. But
don't you just yell out free chips?
No, poor old Pete. Well, look, you know, God rest his soul.
I'm just sending him a message.
He's not dead.
Oh, are you sure?
God, it sounds like you're doing a eulogy for him. Oh,
yeah. Well, he's on a boat with coronavirus off Antarctica. Far out. What do we expect?
So that's true, or is that just a GR?
I don't know. You know what? It'll be the best. Well, it's not a very funny joke, but for Pete, that's Pete's humour.
Yeah.
But it'd be quite funny if he comes back and lands and he gives us a call from Sydney. And goes, what's going on, guys? Yeah. Now I'm back in Sydney. Coronavirus. Nah, I was just kidding. That's what he'd say.
Yeah.
Well, I know that the boat's heading to Uruguay because they couldn't dock in Chile.
Right.
So he's on his way to Uruguay. I think he said it's about a 5-day cruise. And Nick's probably halfway across across the
no, he's Pacific. Back. Nick's back. He's back in Brisbane.
How did he get there?
They docked at Rio, and he got on a flight from there. They've shipped them all out through from Rio to Dubai to Perth. Came through Perth. He coughed a lot in Perth Airport.
Thanks, Nick Rains. Good on you.
Yeah. And then they sent in Brisbane. He said he got off the plane at Brisbane and domestic, and there was no one there. No one cared. There was no one telling him to do anything. There was no security. No.
Because he's domestic. So he would have come in through border control in Perth.
Yep.
They wouldn't have done it in Brisbane on a domestic flight.
But I wonder if he had that in Perth. If he had. But anyway, he'll be in quarantine. Nick's a good.
Did you see Josh Holko's image of him in the business class of the plane, Emirates plane, coming back from Iceland? And he was the only – he had a picture of him in business. He was the only one in business, and you couldn't see anyone else in the plane.
Yeah, really?
Now, I don't know. There might have been people at the back, but Josh was on his own. I just want to come back to your question, Carwin, about, how would we feel different? You talk about after the war, how they felt. I would hope that we have an increased appreciation for the people who work on our behalf in the hospitals and the caregiving. Mm. That we have an increased appreciation of those people who are looking after our elderly, parents and grandparents and relatives. Mm. That we have an increased appreciation of, like, even the people down at the local IGA or the supermarket who are working their butts off trying to keep food in the store, trying to source, things that we need. Because I think we probably were guilty, as I said, taking so much for granted, including those people. And going back to the war, the lesson is, I think, when those soldiers came back, we've seen images of when they got off the ships and the celebration to say thank you for doing this on our behalf. And yet when you go forward, maybe to Vietnam, there was a lot less of that. And it took years to really appreciate that, whether it was the right or wrong thing politically, the fact that these people put themselves on the line for other people.
Sacrificed.
And I think we have to, I would like to hope that that's where people start to, show some gratitude.
We have to acknowledge these folks. And I've been chatting to a friend of mine who is a GP, and she is, right at the front line, just chatting on WhatsApp. And I've said to her, I'm just really worried about frontline medical folks. They are right at the front line. And she just said, me too, and I'm reading directly off my WhatsApp. I don't feel like I'm at risk, but I'm worried about my friends in the hospitals. And I've just said, time to retire, for a bit. And she just simply said, but this is what we signed up for.
Yeah, good on her. And that's right. And my mate's a doctor, he's a GP, and he said the same thing.
I reckon
thing.
That's amazing,
Yeah, and we've got to worry about is sitting on the couch for a couple of months, and these guys have to go to work every day and try and make people feel better, and they've got to deal with all the everyday stuff. I was speaking to Wendy. I got an email from Wendy Morris. Wendy, she's a really great photographer, does a lot of trips, and she's also an anaesthetist, and she said that next week I think she's going into intensive care, and she'll be there and doing her job and looking after people, and they expect it's all quiet at the moment, but they expect by mid-April it's going to be it's going to be hell. So all we have to do is do the right thing by them by staying home and staying out of the way and not being sick and spreading out.
Hear, Christian. It's such an important message.
Yeah.
Tony, I'm so glad you brought this up about these people. One of my clients, they're in the medical profession, so I do know a few medical people, and one of the doctors who's a good mate of mine has been doing constant analysis, and I really don't want to share some of that analysis here because quite frankly, if you think the media are beating this up. They're probably not beating it up enough, but he's got colleagues that are in Italy that are doctors, and some of these doctors are actually infected with the coronavirus, but they have to work anyway. They've just got no choice. They're just taking PPE super seriously, but they just can't afford for that doctor who's infected to leave the system because it creates a massive hole. So you've just got to, you know, you look at these medical folks and they all drive around in, you know, fancy German cars and all that sort of stuff and a bit flashy and that sort of stuff. But at day's end, you've got specialist consultants like surgeons going to work in a coronavirus ward just to help out and putting themselves in harm's way. And so I've just got an amazing respect for the medical profession after witnessing you know what's going on. And it's not just the medical profession. Look, you know, I want to say too that people have been getting the shits at Woolworths because they go in there and they can't buy any toilet paper and that sort of thing, and there's just this tension. And they tend to, you know, take it out on the, you know, the bloke behind the checkout or the, you know, the girl behind the checkout. And that person is at the front line. They have a very, very high risk of getting coronavirus. And people are just being wankers to them.
Well, look, you know, hopefully that sort of attitude will die out. And after this is all, you know, done and dusted, people will come together and there'll be more community spirit and people will look at their own neighborhoods and their own country and their own state and travel more and shop local. And maybe this will be the end of the online buying from Amazon and eBay and all these things. And people go, you know what? We need these communities. We need to be able to
support local.
We need these shops that are, you know, because all the money's being put in the hands of these big corporations, and all the little people that want to have a little home business that they've been running forever and we've always had them, they'll just all go. So maybe this is the end of corporate greed and the way we look at that. But, I mean, how do we relate it back to photography though? How do we get Tony, what's your idea? I mean, there was that beautiful quote that you read out to us the other week. Have you still got that handy?
Actually, I'll get that.
Can you read that out?
While I get that, I just want to make a point that you talk about people on the front line and what we can do to help to stay home and so on. But the other thing I wanted to point out was that people get helpless and they don't know what to do. But every single person has a choice between being part of the problem or part of the solution. And even somebody who feels like, I don't have any skill, you have a choice of being part of the solution by doing what you've been asked to do, and that is to self-isolate. If you choose not to, you're choosing to increase the problem. Doctors, nurses, caregivers, suppliers, people on the front line are choosing to be a part of the solution by going to work, by putting themselves in harm's way. Those of us who don't have those skill sets, we need to make the choice of being part of the solution by staying out of the way, by not contributing.
Tony, can you just say that again? Because you gave us robot voice there for a bit.
People, every single one of us has a choice to be part of the problem or part of the solution. Now, obviously, if you're a caregiver, a doctor, a nurse, somebody who runs a supermarket, you can be part of the solution by stepping up and doing what you do. As people have said, this is what they signed up for. Now, you may not have those skill sets, you may not be in that area, but you can be part of the solution by doing what you've been asked to do and staying out of the way, by staying home. That's how you help. That's how you give positive action. Your choice to not do that means you're choosing to be a part of the problem and make it harder for those who are putting themselves in harm's way on your behalf. And that's something that you should carry on your conscience. Make a decision to be part of the solution. If that means staying home and doing your bit, then do it. Now, there's a whole bunch of things you can do at home. And I just thought I'd take a moment for the photographers who are sitting there going, yep, I've got my money sorted. I'm happy to stay home, but what can I do? Just want to run through quickly, if I may. You can you can spend the time to back up like you haven't backed up before, sort out your imagery, get it into libraries, do all those things you keep promising yourself you would do when you have time. Well, guess what, guys and girls? You got time. Go exploring through your libraries over the last 10, 15 years. Understand that the way you processed that image 10 years ago on Capture One, number two, will look totally different if you have a crack at it on Capture One 12 or Capture One 20. Reassess some of the decisions you made around your best work. Reassess what was the best shots from that trip, that tour, that shot of your children. Do some editing. Get better. There is a mountain of content in terms of tutorials. There are people out there with heaps of stuff on every single thing you want to learn. And sometimes all you needed was time. Well, if maybe because your best choice to help the world is to stay home, use that work time wisely. Use it to create and share your ideas. Keep other people motivated. Keep other people inspired. And then while you're at it, start thinking about what you're going to do when we come out the tunnel. What are you going to be preparing yourself? How are you going to run your business? Which parts of your business are you going to keep? Which parts of your business are you going to change? If you're not a professional photographer, what type of photography are you going to get better at and explore? And which ones are you not going to bother wasting time with? Christian, you said, you know, each of us something about what we should be doing. Christian Fletcher is an inspirational photographer that people look up to. And one of the things Christian Fletcher can do is to inspire others by continuing to do this podcast. Carwin, the role you're playing, you're giving people something to listen to. You're connecting them with other people that they can listen to and give them hope and allow them to fill their days with something that's constructive, creative, positive, that makes them feel good. And I keep coming back to it. When you feel good, you are healthier. Science tells us that if you feel good and positive, your immune system is stronger. So now you are helping the system. You're staying healthy. So we each have to play a role. I believe that, like, there comes a time where each of us go, this is my time to do what it is I'm here to do. And Christian, your larrikin, Australian humour, irreverent way of saying things makes people look at things a little bit more lightheartedly. And yet at the same time, people know you have the biggest, most generous heart. You're a creative soul who people just want to listen to because it inspires them to find the best in themselves. And Carwin working with you has allowed you to mobilize that. Carwin is great because he keeps bringing us back to topic. You know, each of us have a strength. I'm going to keep talking on opportunities. I've got phase one of Engaged Me to do a series of international webinar type programs to keep people inspired, to keep people involved. Canson, they're about to do some stuff, and I'm part of that international group of a small group of people providing international webinars and seminars for people. And we're going to do it not because they're paying a whole lot of money, and it's nothing to that's not happening. It's about putting something out there so people who are stuck at home can be engaged and can improve themselves and feel better, and they will be healthier as a result. Maybe it won't be measurable, but you will be healthier. So we each have a role to play. I found that little quote. I'm going to share that with you. It's by Kitty O'Meara, and I noticed that I think you've posted it and I've posted it, and I did see this originally on Paul Holland's one of his posts, but it's Kitty O'Meara wrote it. And the people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being and were still and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows. And the people began to think differently, and the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they had been healed.
That's so good. Who is Kitty O'Meara?
I've got to be honest, I don't know, but I will be looking her up and finding out more. Maybe at the next podcast you could, you know, mention who she is.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. Such a beautiful statement.
Guys, look, unfortunately we have run out of time. You know, Tony Hewitt, mate, after those kind words, you can join us absolutely any time, mate. But I guess if you're listening to this right now, stay safe. Like Tony said, you know, you do your bit for all of us, and you know, self-isolate. You know, don't be that guy. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Good words, Tone, and it's always great to have you and have your creativity and your coaching skills. You're excellent at putting the right words out there. That's why I'm irreverent and tell jokes, because
Christian, don't change.
I won't, mate. I'm still be taken.
You're exactly where you need to be right now at this time. And if I can just, you know, leave your listeners with these thoughts that, you know, look after yourself. that's one of the most important things you can do, if not the most important thing, because you're no good to anybody if you're not well, because you're going to put a more burden on the system, and you're not there for your family. So look after yourself first and foremost. Look after your loved ones. And one thing is for certain, absolutely without question, that over the next 6 to 9 months, there is going to be a new reality. It's changing by the day, and by Christmas, it will be a new reality. And each of us play a role in deciding what it's going to look like. And my choice is to make it a bloody good one.
Yeah, good on you, Tim.
Good on you.